Good evening. This is the Sparks team training call for August 27, 2012. Tonight we're going to talk about overcoming fears in your Anzalo business. It seems like I talk about something like this, it's hard for me to imagine, you know, getting started after being an Anzalo dealer for so many years. I've been an Anzalo dealer since 2000. But then I think back and I think, oh my gosh, I used to drive by places because I'm afraid that they might say no, or it was too important of a place. I'm like, well, what if I say the wrong thing? So we're going to talk about some of that stuff tonight. I've got a couple of things I've been doing to get better at not to say that I'm afraid of anything, but just to get better at being in sales and everything, and we'll talk about that as well. Tonight's call is open mic night tonight, so if you've got a question or comment, just chime in. I'll ask for questions and whatnot, or if you've got a comment that something that worked for you, I'd love to hear something that might help the rest of the group out. So I just want to say that when you're first getting started in any kind of new venture, not just the Amsoil, that it's natural to be uncomfortable. It's natural to have fears and worry that you're going to mess something up. But as you do more of it, these fears and will become less and less, and pretty soon it just almost becomes natural. People tell me all the time, says, "Well, how do you just know what to say?" I said, "I don't know. I just say it. I've been doing it for so long, and just kind of know." You just get better at doing that over time. But if you don't start learning and doing and just getting out there, you just never come over those fears. Just like swimming, you know, if you don't get in the water, you can't overcome being afraid of swimming. So we're going to talk about fear of rejection. Some people are afraid just to talk to people, so we're going to overcome that. We're going to talk about fear of somebody asking about a product that you might not know the most amount. We're going to talk about what if you do get the sale and you don't know how to do the paperwork or whatever, and fear of follow-up, and there's just a lot of different things we can go over tonight's program. And then I'm also going to talk about the event that I went to today that's going to help me in some other areas as well. So, well, how do we get better? And I was going to say that. How do we get better at doing some of this stuff? And let's just specifically talk about products. How do you get better at when somebody asks you about a motor oil or two-cycle oil and you know, how does it work, or, you know, what's the warranty and all this other stuff? How can you get better at that? One of the easiest ways is to read about the products. You can read about them, and all AMSOIL has no lack of literature, and not to mention the website and the field sales tools and the white papers that are available. All this information, you don't have to absorb it all in one. It's not a test that you take tomorrow. Find products that you're interested in learning about and read about them. You know, one little brochure, I've got an small ATF brochure.
James from Little Rock.
I've got a little small ATF brochure, and you just read them and you just pull out some of the highlights. You know, heat kills automatic transmissions. In fact, for every 20-degree temperature increase above 175, transmission life is cut in half. You know, that's an interesting fact. And say, hey, every time, do you pull anything with your car or truck? Yeah, I pull stuff. I pull a boat. Well, every time your transmission gets over 175 degrees, cuts transmission life in half. And little facts like that. I just always try to pick up little facts in these brochures and store them away for later. They'll come back out, believe me, when you're talking about that product. Another way to get better at overcoming your fear of the products is use as many of the AMSOIL products as you can. If you've got a vehicle or a diesel truck or weed eater oil, grease, metal protector, the more familiar you are with using the various products, the more knowledge you're going to have, personal, first-hand knowledge of using the AMSOIL products, and you'll feel more comfortable talking about them because you're using them and so forth. So, and also your customers. If you've got a friend that maybe you don't have a boat and they do, and you say, well, can you, and I need you to, you know, try this product out for me so that I can get more familiar with it. And, you know, as their friend, your friend will say, well, sure, I'll do that for you. They may or may not, but if you can get your friends and family to use a couple of products that you might not be as familiar with and help you understand how they're better, that's always a positive. So you can do that as well. Other, some other things, you know, use the field sales tools. We talked about that a couple shows ago. You can take the online courses that AMSOIL offers. They have a lubrication study course and so forth. There's three or four of those available. You can go to AMSOIL University. That's a course that's going to help you learn about it. And then, you know, talk with other AMSOIL dealers. Tonight's call is a perfect thing. We're you know, there's several dealers on here, and maybe we can hook up and connect on social media or what have you and ask a question and so forth. So that's another way to do that. Going over to the fear of rejection. Well, you know, there's really the only one way to do it is just to do it. There's no reading about fear of rejection and whatnot. The only way to get better at doing that is actually go and sell products, talk to people about it, and they tell you no. And what you got to do is find a way to turn it into a game. So you say, well, if you go in expecting no, expecting them to say no, say, well, I need, you know, six no's or eight no's or whatever no, how many no's it takes, because it's always a numbers game. And you go in expecting a no, and then they kind of warm up and, yeah, I want some more information on your product. You're like, well, wow, that wasn't that difficult. And give them the information. Hey, yes, sir.
Michael, it's Bruce. That's an interesting point you just brought up there. Many years ago, there's a well-known network marketer, coach, and trainer here in Harrisburg. And part of his seminars, he would talk about going out to find no's. And your goal is to go find 10 no's. And so you go out and talk to people, and you get a no. All right, you got one no, you got nine more to go. And so somewhere along the way, you're going to get a yes. And you're not going to achieve your goal of getting those 10 no's. So it's almost like a reverse psychology thing. You know, tell yourself, oh, I'm going to go out and get those no's. And go out there and go get them. And it can be a law of averages, and the next thing you know, you're going to get a yes. And it's going to break your goal of getting no's instead of go back out there and go find those no's again. Someone's going to tell you yes.
Exactly. Because it's all inside yourself. It's your own psychology that you're fighting against. You're not fighting against the person telling you no. I have written down here in my notes, you know, just remember, it's not about you personally. People you're trying to do business with, they, you know, unless they're your friends or whatever, it might be personal, but businesses you go talk to or you tell somebody about AMSOIL and say, well, I ain't using that stuff, if they don't know you personally, it's nothing against you, it's nothing against the product. You know, I just try to say, well, they're ignorant. They don't know, and maybe one day, I always say, well, it's not no permanently forever. One day, this person's going to wake up, and I hope that they remember me, you know, and so forth. But there is a really good book. I honestly haven't read it. I've been told it was really good, and I have it sitting on my desk. I have it right here in my hands. It's called Go for No. Yes is the destination. No is how you get there. And that's the name of the book is Go for No. And it's by Richard Fenton, F-E-N-T-O-N, and Andrea Waltz, W-A-L-T-Z. So I imagine you can get this on Amazon or anything like that. Read the book, and it says here what it takes to outperform 92% of the world's salespeople. Failing and being a failure are two different things. Why it's important to celebrate success and failure, because you learn through failure. So that's, you know, you learn, well, why did this person say no or whatever? That is one of the things. Five failure levels and how to progress through them, how to get past failures and quickly move on. And the most empowering word and is not yes, is no. So you just remember, it's not about you. Rejection is just part of it. And, you know, when somebody tells me no, I normally don't even accept it. I don't even acknowledge it most of the time. I just keep going. I do recommend, though, if you go into a business or somebody tells you no or whatever, don't accost them. I can't say that I didn't heed those words when I was first getting started, but I true story. I walked into a business in Las Cruces, and a guy says, "You AMSL dealers, I don't want to see you guys." Da 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 da. I said, "What do you mean? You don't want to save money, and you don't want to do this and that?" And give me, and he told me, "Get back, get out. Don't ever come back." I thought he was going to call the cops on me. So if somebody does say you AMSL dealers, just beat feet out of there as quick as possible, and say, "Well, that guy's just either having a bad day or whatever." But when they do tell you no, but get out, that's usually a pretty good sign. You hit the road. So, and don't get in fights with people. Don't do it. Don't get in verbal arguments. It's easy to do. We're passionate about our products. You just leave people to their opinion. If you can't sway them with just demonstrating and maybe using the products, well then, like I said, it's not no now. Maybe in the future they'll understand that it's a better product. So there's people that are afraid of the paperwork. Let's say for instance that you go and get a sale, and now they want to become a customer. And they're like, "Oh no, they want to become a customer. What do I do?" Well, you can practice with the paperwork. I've listened to CDs and stuff, and they talk about it. So go make copies of the paperwork at your house and fill it out yourself. And practice. Get the G100 and 1001 and the G1007. That's the commercial account and the retail on the shelf account. Paperwork, get the little packets, put them in order, put them in the chronological, they don't come this way, you have to put them in order yourself. What's the first thing they need to do to become a customer? They have to have a registration form, so you put that up front. Next thing is the profile sheet. AMSL has to have a profile sheet, so I want to fill that out next. Third thing would be their tax information. If they're a retail business, they usually have a tax form. Then third thing is a credit form if it's something they want to do as a credit application. So put those in order and just practice. You can make copies of the retail on the shelf application and so forth and practice filling it out yourself. And I do recommend, when you do get a customer, you don't hand it to them to fill out. If you can fill out most of it already, a lot of times I'll grab their card and start filling out, okay, is this the address you want the products to? Is this your name? You're in charge? And, ask those questions, and then you'll know at least it's legible, and two, it helps you build rapport with that customer because you really want to help them get the paperwork filled out. So, practice doing that before you go into the sale. And that'll help you out a lot. You can also talk with your sponsor and your Greg Jobber. Get pointers on what's the best way to fill out the paperwork and so forth. So that's always a good thing. Okay. Okay, that was something there. But anyhow, do that part of the fear about the paperwork is something you can practice and get over in a relatively short period of time. And really most of the AMSL paperwork is relatively straightforward to fill out and so forth. Another one of fears a lot of people have is just talking to people in general. People are just, you may be shy. You may just not be an outgoing person. I realize that I'm probably overly outgoing and not like everybody is just going to go up and talk to somebody. How do you get better at doing that? I feel that one of the best ways is to do trade shows and networking events. You're getting out there in front of people. If you go to a trade show, people are coming to you, and they might be asking about the products and so forth, and it's going to help you build up that confidence and so forth. That's going to allow you to know more about the products, know what to say to a customer, and so forth, because they're going to be coming to you. And doing networking events is another way. People that are at networking events, they're generally interested because they want to sell you something too. So networking events are a great way to just learn how to talk to people. You could join your chamber of commerce. You can go to any number of things, BNI and so forth. And those skills that you learn at those places will help you throughout your career. Even if it's not an AMSL, it's going to help you have better communication skills with people. So it's a great way to get better at at being talking in front of people. So one of the things I kind of did today, and it's been talked about it before we actually started the program, but I went to a meeting called Toastmasters, and Toastmasters is an international organization of public speakers, and you go to the you join a group of Toastmasters, and they help teach you how to become a better communicator in public, and as well as a better public speaker. So if you ever want to like get in front of crowds and talk to people and so forth, and somebody in our group tonight has actually I think been in Toastmasters for a while. Paul, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Paul. You've been in Toastmasters. Why don't you give us a little story?
For Toastmasters is the undisputed leader in teaching people public speaking and leadership. Because that's the other part of the program that people don't really realize is in there. They know about public speaking, but they don't know about the leadership as well.
Okay, so it's a leadership as well as public speaking organization. Okay.
And
how long were you in Toastmasters? Are you still in it? Are you still doing it?
I'm not in Toastmasters right now, but I will be joining a club again really soon.
Okay, but how long did you do it for then when you were in it before?
Oh, about 5 years.
5 years, okay. Gotcha.
So I have my competent communicator and advanced communicator, and the other parts of it is one of the things with what a Toastmasters meeting really is it comes in three parts. You have the public, the prepared speeches portion of it, and this is something that they worked on their speech at home, and they're practicing it in front of the group, their club, which is about 10 to 20 members, something like that. And they're practicing, and they'll give their speech to the club. There's the evaluation portion of the meeting, which is one of the other members of the club will evaluate your speech and say, you know, I really like this. Something that you might want to consider for to make this speech better is do this, this, and that. And then there's also the encouragement, please. I just love hearing about this story. I'd like to hear the rest of this story. There's an encouragement piece that goes with it as well. Mm-hmm. And the other part that I found really valuable and that helped land me a job was the portion of impromptu speaking. And you're asked a question, and you have 1 or 2 minutes to respond to it. In the Toastmasters meeting, they call this table topics. But it also works like a job interview, where you're asked, again, you're asked a question, and you have 1 or 2 minutes to respond. And the big thing with that is that you don't open your mouth right away when you're responding to the question. Think about the answer that you want to give. And it's ideal you give it as a little mini speech, introduction, body, and conclusion. And when you use that technique, like with a job interview, I mean, I aced an interview where the previous year I blew it when I was interviewing for H&R Block. And it was just okay. Because of table topics that I was able to do that.
Okay.
If you're asked
excellent.
A question about oil, think about your answer and then give it.
So it's going to give you, they're going to help you teach effective communication skills and how to gather your thoughts and convey that in a proper way that others can understand. I also noticed, too, that they don't throw you out, you know, to the wolves where you stand up if you're not comfortable or whatever. You do a lot of little things that help you get more comfortable with the group, and the group is kind of like more of a friendship. So you're not like you're speaking in front of strangers by the time you actually work up to your speech. Is that correct?
That is correct. Also,
okay.
You could use the club to practice a presentation that you're about to give. So I've practiced a speech I was talking about oil, and I used one of the articles from Action News, and so the title of the speech was "The Cheapest Vehicle You'll Ever Own Is the One You Already Got." So now, how do you maintain it? So that's what I was talking about, and I used that article from the Action News.
Excellent. Well, I think it's going to be a good program, and you know, I like I say, you always kick yourself that something I should have probably done in the past. And David Bell's been telling me to do it for a little while, and I knew you were doing it. I just had a chance to get there, and now and we went there this today. It was a great group of people, and we're looking forward to joining and getting our skills up to overcome some of that. So when you get in front of people, they know what you're speaking. And my problem is, Elisa tells me all the time, you say a lot of and then she says that's just distracting people. And I just did it again. See, but you learn how to overcome those things, and that's going to help you become more effective in what you're trying to convey to somebody else. So well. Thanks a lot, Paul, for giving us an overview of that. And how do you find a Toastmasters group in your area?
You can Google for Toastmasters, and you can go to Toastmasters.com.
Okay, I think it's actually an organization. I don't know.
It might be an org.
Yeah,
you can go to the international website and then put in your zip code. The other way you can do is Google for it and find a club that happens to be on the web. So Toastmasters in Clarksville would give you the clubs in your area.
Yeah, okay. But, that's an excellent, and I think it's going to be a good thing, and it's very nominal fee. I think ours is $6 a month, $6.50 a month or something like that. And you go twice a month, so it's really cheap to go. Maybe it's $6 a meeting. I'm not sure. It was very nominal fee, and they give you workbooks and stuff like that and whatnot. So,
international dues is about $30-$35, something like that, right now. And then you typically have monthly dues for your club as well. And they're typically like $2 a week or something like that.
Okay.
$2 a month, something close.
Okay.
And clubs will meet on various days of the week. You can, like when you're on the international website, you can specify, I'd like a meeting that's on Tuesday or Thursday, and I would like it in the evening. And they can find the clubs that meet at that particular time. And they get, some are meet weekly, some are monthly.
Okay.
Some are more corporate clubs. So it all depends. You're looking for a club that's open to the public. And a closed club would be one that's U.S. Bank has a club. You know, that was a closed club. But,
okay.
Most of them are open to the public.
Gotcha.
The ones that won't be your military clubs and some of them that are corporate.
Okay. Well, good deal. I appreciate it, Paul. I appreciate you giving the overview. I'd recommend anybody that'd like to become a more effective communicator and as well as a better leader in anything that they do, not just your AMSL business. It's going to help you, like Paul said, even in a job interview, it's going to give you some more skills that you wouldn't have otherwise. So it's definitely something worth doing. Anybody else have comments on overcoming fears in their business? Anything that they've done to help them get over something and whatnot? I'd love to hear anybody else.
One of the ones that I'm curious about is, does AMSOIL still have the comparative studies between the gear loop study and where they compared the various brands? Are they doing that again, or are they stopped doing that, or what happened in there? Because I was looking for the motorcycle one. I couldn't find it.
Well, actually, I think they're kind of getting away from those for some reason. And so they're trying to change the image, maybe, is what they're doing. So they're, if you notice, even in the catalog, they're not doing very many comparative studies. And I think it's an image thing. I think we're just trying to say, well, we're not better. Not so arrogant, I guess, is what we're trying to do. That's where I think they're going with that. But if you go on the performance test, and they're doing more of these studies where they're doing the marine gear, the marine study. There's an interceptor study. They're doing like independent tests instead of like doing a comparison. So they're trying to kind of change gears, I guess. And so they're definitely not out there. If you've got a copy of the motorcycle oil white paper or the gear lube white paper, hang on to that. It's going to be a collector's item, and some of that information is good to help you understand more about AMSOIL. But we're definitely they're moving away from those documents. So, well, that's pretty much it I have for tonight. If nobody has any questions, a couple of things on there. Again, like I said, you can get through the rejection thing. You just got to go do it. Doing trade shows is a great way to get in front of customers and help you understand more about products and everything. Another thing, too, is if you're going in expecting to start a relationship with a potential customer, not just to make a sale, I think that if you can wrap your mind around that, I want to start a relationship with this person, not just to sell them my product. I want to understand what they do, and I want to understand how I can help them. That will go a long way. And if you can go in building relationships, you're going to get more out of it than just, you know, making a one-timer, just getting on a sale. So go that route that as well. But, next week is Labor Day. So somebody had mentioned that, it's a long weekend and it's Labor Day. You're not going to have your call, are you? I said, well, it's Labor Day. How do you not have your call on Labor Day? It's a work day for me. So we're having a call next week, and I don't think I'm going to record it. It's going to be a special call that only the people that are listening in get to participate in. So next week's call, we're having one on Labor Day. Join in at same time, same channel, and should be a good call. It's going to be a special call for Labor Day. So with that, you guys all have a great night. I appreciate everybody listening in tonight. Go out there and sell some more AMSOIL. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.